If you would be turning with me in your Bibles over to the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12. And as you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, you might notice that this is now the last chapter in this book of wisdom that we've been looking at. Today, we get to the whole conclusion of the matter, as it would seem, in this journey that we started some 16 weeks ago. And if you've been with us for any other book lessons or series, you might realize that that's not exactly a long time for us, but I think it's long enough for us to, for Solomon really to truly speak to our hearts these words of wisdom that he has for us. His words in this book, as we look through it, are in large part words that are spoken out of his own experience. And for those things, it's not from his own experience, it is from the observation of others. As we look at this book, Solomon writes it in his old age. He's an old man, and he looks back upon his life of folly and upon the folly of others. And he is writing this book to help younger people in particular to live a better life. You see, as we look into the life of Solomon, in this book he doesn't go into detail about his own life per se. He talks about generalities and things of that nature. But, you know, as we look into the life of Solomon, we know that he was truly one of the wisest men to ever live. But yet his own days were full of folly and futility as well. There were, you know, as you think about as wise as he was, there's still some things that he made some unwise decisions personally about. After all, this is a guy who had 700 wives and 300 concubines, right? As 1 Kings tells us in 11:3, and it also tells us in that scripture that those wives led him astray. You see, because of him marrying these women, Solomon got involved in some of these other gods that they worshipped because he married these women from other places. And Scripture even tells us that he went so far as to build places on the hilltops for them to worship at, and even participated himself in the worship of other gods. And truly, as you think about Solomon and all his wisdom, that is a sad thing to think about, how one can be carried off into those things. But again, we look at this book, and it is a book that is written in his old age. It's almost kind of like his way of repenting and warning, in a way. Days of regretting that he lived under the sun instead of under heaven. Last week, as we approached the very end of chapter 11, we saw that Solomon told us to remember the days of darkness because there would be many of them. Now, when he said to look back on those days of darkness, that there would be many of them, he didn't say to look back upon them as if we were to look upon them in days of fondness, of days gone by that we were living in sin. But no, he was saying, look back upon them and regret what was done. Solomon is remembering these things, and as he writes this book, he tells us indeed that all of those things that were done under the sun, all of those things that were done for sin's sake, are going to be brought into judgment. So as we've read this book so far, we have seen a continual exhortation to live life, to enjoy life, to work hard at life. But remember that everything that we have in life, everything that we do in life, outside of sin, of course, is given to us by God. Outside of Him, there is no blessing. And we are also exhorted in this book as well that all of these things come to an end, which is why we thank God for them instead of making, investing ourselves and making a big deal out of the things of this life, because we know that all of those things are going to come to an end just as we are. As Hebrews 9:27 tells us, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's the same point that Solomon is making here in the latter part of this letter to the people of Israel. Now, with all of that said, let's read our chapter here, chapter number 12, in its entirety, and we'll come back and look at the verses individually. So let's begin reading here. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, why the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or even the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, by my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work unto judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. This is truly a very lovely chapter. As a matter of fact, I believe it's probably one of the most beautifully written chapters in the Word of God. But let's return our attention back to verse number 1. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon begins with that famous phrase of remembering now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Solomon has given us all of the travail and disparity and futility of living life under the sun and doing it our own way. Or maybe a Sinatra once sang it, I did it my way, right? He has gone through these things, and now he plainly gets to the point where he's saying, just stop it. Just stop it. Stop trying to follow after the folly of youth. Stop trying to follow after the ways of the world, because all you are doing is wasting your time upon this earth. You're wasting your life day by day and moment by moment. These are times that you will never get back again. And sure, the things of this world may seem good at the moment, but when the moment fades, you have nothing left but judgment to pay. He speaks against this philosophy that many hold to today that says, you know, I have plenty of time in life to get everything right with God, right? It's what a lot of people feel like. You know, I can put that off tomorrow. I can put it off till tomorrow. I mean, after all, God's a forgiving God. You know, He's going to forgive me nonetheless. Just put it off, put it off, put it off. I'll serve Him in my latter days. No, those latter days will come and you will wish that you had done it all different. And that's if the latter days come. Because the fact of the matter is that death comes to all men. And we know that death is not a respecter of persons. That is, the young die as much as the old do. That is the message of this verse. That is the message of this chapter. It is the message of this book. It is to serve God while you can, before old age settles down on you and you hardly have the ability to enjoy the things that God has blessed you with, let alone serve Him with the vigor that you once could have. Let's look at our next verse. It says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor clouds return after the rain. Now, this verse is not too difficult to understand for us. It is really the same thing that was said in verse number 1, except for now Solomon is saying it just a little more poetically in nature. The exhortation is to remember our Creator, to remember God our Creator in the good years of life, the days of sun and light and stars, the day that we have our strength, the day that we can work to our fullest, because one of these days, darkness sets in, the evening sets in, and eventually one of these days, as the darkness sets in, our eyes will even close in death. So again, the message of verses 1 and 2 is, serve God in your youth. Serve Him while you can. Serve Him in the days of your strength, before the time comes when you can't, because time passes by quicker than you think. That's the message the youth need to understand, is time is passing by quicker than you can imagine. You know, my dad once said to me, he said, you know, there's going to come this point in your life. It's almost like an invisible line, but there's going to come this point in life when you're going to know more names in the obituary column than you know in the birth column of the newspaper. And folks, that's proved to be true. And you remember what that was like. Now, of course, we remember when we were really young, right? When we were really, really young, we never really cared or thought too much about those who were being born or outside of our immediate family, perhaps those who were passing away. But as we get a little bit older and we graduate from high school, right? We grow up, we graduate from high school, and we think things are great and grand and everything's got a whole life ahead of you. But, you know, some people go through high school and it seems like they immediately get married, right? They immediately get married, they start having kids. Some wait till they finish college, but they're having kids. But it seems like, you know, all your friends, just 18, 19 years old, they start popping out kids, right? And suddenly those kids that you hung out with in school and you want to hang out with anymore, they can't hang out because they don't have anybody to babysit, right? Or even worse, they want to bring their kids along. So now you're not going to invite them, right? But that's the way it is when you're young, and that continues on for a while until you reach this point where in your 40s, and when you're in your 40s, there's not too many of your friends who are having kids anymore. And suddenly you start looking in the paper and you see some obituaries of those people that you went to school with. And you find out that guy that you had history class with died of a heart attack. Or that girl that you had chemistry with dies of cancer. You see, life passes by quickly, and the older we get, it seems like it passes even more. Right? It seems like we just were talking about the new year, right? But now we're on that downward spiral to the end of the year, And Hallmark Channel has already got us there, right? You all know what I'm talking about. And it doesn't seem long at all before youth fades and middle age fades, and the next thing you know, we become that feeble person who needs that arm to hold on to as we cross the street or go down the stairs. When you look back, life has passed by quickly. A vapor here today and gone tomorrow. And in our older days, we look back. We look back and we see the wasted opportunities to serve God. So if you find yourself listening today and you're in your younger years, those teen years, those roaring 20s, those cheerful 30s when it seems like life has just fallen into place, or you've graduated from that midlife crisis in your 40s and you still have lots of energy, stop worrying about doing whatever the it is in your life, unless the it in your life is serving God and being pleasing before Him. Now, in what follows, we have Solomon's whimsical words, you might want to call them, of what it's like to be old. And understand that that Solomon is not looking at someone else and saying, this is what it's like to be old. No, Solomon is writing this because he's old. And the things that we're going to talk about, this is him. This is him. This is what life has been reduced for. And as he writes these things, he may write them with a silver tongue of elegance, but we understand there is nothing that is elegant or graceful about what he is describing. People talk about growing old, graceful. Fooey, schmooey, right? Fooey, schmooey. You know, I get the chance to work on a lot of people, a lot of older people. And there's one phrase that I hear from my older patients more than any is they get up off the table and they look at me and they say, Dr. Fry, getting old stinks. Getting old stinks. And the only reason they call it your golden years is because it takes all your gold to pay for your drugs and your doctor's bills, right? So let's read the description of aging here. Verse number 3, it says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. The keeper of the house was the one who protected the house, right? Think of those guards that stand outside of Buckingham Palace in their tall hats and their uniforms that they have that are notable around the world. Those are keepers of the house. Who are the protectors of our house, our personal house, our being? Those are the arms, our arms. What is the first thing you do if someone throws something at you unexpectedly? You throw up your arms, right? You're protecting yourself with your arms. You might have, at times in your life, taken those arms to fight off someone who is maybe trying to intrude upon you or your home. Our homes are, our arms are our protectors. Through the work of our hands, we provide protection for the life that we live. But the day comes when those hands and arms don't work nearly as well. Solomon says, tremble. And you've seen older people tremble, right? As they write or look, point to something of that nature. But the idea is here that they just don't work as well as they used to. As we get older, getting that thread through the eye of a needle is as difficult as getting a camel through the eye of the needle, right? Unless someone else is helping us. Things you do all your life now seemingly take you forever because you just can't manipulate things the way that you used to. The next phrase is, the strong men shall bow themselves. The strong men here are speaking of our legs. The legs support the body like the mythical Atlas supported and held up the earth. The legs really are an amazing thing when you think about them. They carry us wherever we want to go for most of our lives. The older we get, though, the more they hurt. It's pain in the hips, pain in the knees, poor circulation. The next thing you know, a trip around Walmart is a task that you dread, and standing even for 4 verses of Amazing Grace seems a task that's too hard. From week to week, over the last decade, I've watched some of you struggle harder and harder just to get here because the strong men are beginning to bow. The strength of younger days has faded away. The next phrase is, the grinders cease because they are few. And I think we can figure that out well enough, right? This speaks of when you get older, you losing your teeth, right? Now we know that dentistry, of course, has come a long way since those days. And I'm not sure that they had any kind of real, you know, care for teeth back in those days. But let's just face it, if it weren't for implants, for dentures and partials, most of us would finish our days eating soup and pudding and washing it down with a nice chocolate and sugar, which sounds like a great way to lose weight, but thank God for dentists, right? Now the next phrase is, and those that look out the windows be darkened. Now this is speaking of the eyes. Speaking of the eyes. And it still haunts me to this day, the day that I stood in the back of the church there and Brother Greg picked up a piece of paper and he held it out here like that and I laughed at him and kind of made jest. That's called presbyopia, which means old vision when you translate it. Now I can hardly read my own iPhone and I have my first set of bifocals waiting for me in the mail this week. Life is great. Now, I'm thankful today that we have those glasses. I'm thankful that we have treatments for cataracts and macular degeneration and things of that nature that brought blindness to many in the past. But this is where Solomon was at in his old age. Now let's look on to verse number 4, as if verse number 3 wasn't depressing enough, right? Verse number 4 says, "And the doors shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low." Doors shall be shut in the streets. That is, this again is the mouth that is being spoken of, a mouth that was once full of words, a mouth that has seemingly always had the right thing to say, no longer works like it used to. Perhaps because of strokes, because of Parkinson's, or some other disease that robs the fluidity of speech. The grinding that is low is speaking again about a mouth that has no teeth. And because there is no teeth, there is no joy in that crunching of an apple or the stalk of celery or whatever it might be. And then we have this phrase about the rising up at the voice of a bird. And this speaks of the lightness of sleep that often happens as we get older. It seemingly takes the smallest of sounds to wake us up from bed. And then we're up and staring at the ceiling the rest of the night or wondering what that sound could be and if we're okay and all of the things that go along with it. You stay awake all night and you sit down in the day and you fall asleep wherever you're at. And that seems to be what happens as we get older. The daughters of music brought low speaks of the ears that can't hear and the voices that can't necessarily sing with the beauty that they once did. Did you get that? I said ears that can't hear, right? And now we continue on our descent on this disheartening road. In verse number 5, it says, "And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets." The first phrase is easy enough for us to understand. It speaks of the fear of falling, which is a good thing to fear whenever we get older, right? So we avoid things like getting onto ladders and step stools and maybe even stairs as well. And not only are you afraid of falling, but as the next phrase indicates, you're afraid of everything. You worry over things that you would have never worried about. You obsess about little things. The almond tree that flourishes speaks of a person's hair. When an almond tree blooms, it blooms white. And this is speaking of old, white-haired men and women. There's at least a couple of those here, even today. And I'm joining the crowd a little faster than I want to. This next phrase, the grasshopper or locust, it's the same word in Hebrew. That hard-shelled creature is a burden. I've read a lot of explanations of what this is, but it probably goes along with that next phrase about the desires failing and really Solomon's inability to be with those 700 wives and 300 concubines because things don't work like they used to. Enough said about that. And then we have a man that longs to go home. He's ready to die. He's ready to meet his Maker. And he's ready to go home because this earth is no longer a joy. It's a burden. But he has a hope of what is ahead. He has a joy in the thoughts of what is ahead. So he longs for home. He longs to go where his friends have gone, where his loved ones have gone. And then the mourners in the street certainly speak of the death of that person as well. And you would think that this is enough gloom that Solomon has given us in aging, but Solomon's got one more verse for us in this little journey. In verse number 6, he says, "Wherever the silver cord be loosed, where the golden bowl be broken, where the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern." In this verse, this speaks of problems with the back. That is the silver cord. The bowl that is broken is the bowl that sits on top of the spine that, of course, is our brain. And this is speaking about the brain having issues. And the fountain, the wheel, speaks most likely of our circulatory system. So this verse is saying, if growing old and aging isn't enough just by itself, you're also going to end up with problems in your back. Your brain's not going to work a lot right. And your heart and your circulation's going to be screwed up. Did Solomon nail it? Yeah, he nailed it. He nailed it. Pretty accurate description of how it is to get older. And as we said earlier, it stinks. And it's not for sissies. And I admit after I read all of this, I decided it's time for me to make an appointment for the doctor and get that blood work I need to get done. And that's okay, because when I go to the doctor, it's like a reunion of people that I went to school with anymore, waiting in the waiting room. Verse number 7 says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Here is the summary of what we've read, and here included in this verse, again, the summary of it all: life stinks. When you get older, nothing works like it used to, and eventually you're going to shrivel up and die. Now, he said it nicer than that, a lot nicer than that, but that's what he said. But now notice this. Does Solomon believe that death is the end of man? That when we die, we just go to a boneyard, so to say, and rot? No. He says the spirit shall return to God. Now, I know that was all rather depressing as we read that. And it certainly doesn't mean that there is no joy that comes in old age, because there certainly is many joys that come with aging as you see your grandchildren and great-grandchildren grow and all of these things. But Solomon is trying to show us again to serve God while we can. Serve God while we can, before we regret not doing things for God. Did you ever see anybody who came to the end of their days say, "I wish I would have served God less and had more fun in the world"? No. No one ever says that. They say, "I wish I would have done more for God." Because they see in that point in time that life is temporary. This life is, again, just a vapor passing by quickly. But what is to come is for eternity. And which is more important? This life of a few years, and the enjoyment of the flesh, for the life that is to come? So Solomon concludes this first section here with this phrase that we've come to know pretty well so far. "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher." All is vanity. It is Solomon's way of saying that anything done in this life that is outside of God is as unfruitful as chasing and grasping the wind. It is meaningless. And now Solomon concludes this book with the next six verses that he's been building up to for the last 11 and a half chapters. And these verses are important. And as we go on through these verses, they get more important until we get to the end. So let's look first in verse number 9. We're going to cover three verses together here. It says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and he sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of the assembly, which are given from one shepherd." Who is this preacher? It is he. It is Solomon. That is, as we look at this word, it is speaking of one who addresses an assembly, and that is what Solomon was doing. He was addressing the assembly of Israel, and what he is saying is that in his old age, he has written down these things from his life experience and from what he has observed so that we may learn from his wisdom. And he's saying that for the wise who will listen to these words that he speaks will be like sharp sticks to further prod them along in the right and wise ways. And I love this phrase that says, "the nails fastened by the masters of assemblies," because it reminds me of a phrase that we might use today when we could say, that's a nail you can hang your hat on. That's what these words of wisdom are. They're nails we can hang our hat on. They are sure, they are true, they are just. Words that will not fail. In verse number 12 it says, "And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh." This verse is an admonishment to the wise that there are indeed many books in the world. There's no end to them, right? No end to them. People are always writing books and writing novels, philosophies and histories and self-help books, and the list goes on, and it's like there's not enough books in the world at any given time. And people read and read and read, and they're trying to learn and learn and learn all about life and all about life's meaning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Solomon says, you can read these books till you're blue in the face and exhausted in the flesh. But listen, this is the point he's making here in the next couple of verses. You've got to get to that first, but here's the short end of it. If you're reading all of this and you're studying all this and it isn't increasing godly wisdom and it isn't drawing you to God, it's futile. It's worthless. Look here in verse 13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You know, sometimes in life you may tell a kid a story that has a nice moral to it. Something to kind of make everything click. Well, this isn't a moral per se as we get to this, but this is the point. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. Fear or reverence of God and keep His commandments. That's what you were born to do. That is what Solomon has tried to show us, that everything outside of that in life is such a waste. You were born to serve God and keep His commandments. Give Him glory and praise Him. Do His will. So many people want to know what their purpose is in life. You ever hear people say, "I just don't know what my purpose is"? Well, here's the short end of it again. Your duty, your purpose in life is to fear God and keep His commandments. And it doesn't matter if you're a painter or a lawyer or a waiter. Your purpose is always the same. Fear God and keep His commandments. And here is the final warning, the whole conclusion. Verse number 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Everything that we do to fear God and keep His commandments are going to be rewarded by God for the saints. For everything that we do outside the will of God, it will be judged as well. For those that are lost, those things will further condemn to hell. For those who are saved, it will be indeed loss of reward. Don't you want to be rewarded before Christ? Don't you want to hear those words? "Well done, my good and faithful servant." There's one way to hear them, and that is to follow what Solomon said. Fear God and keep His commandments. Do it while you can, as much as you can. This is not just a message for the youth, but it's a message for all of us of every age. While you have life, while you have breath, serve Him. Serve Him while you can. For those that have been on this 4-month journey with me in Ecclesiastes, I hope that you have enjoyed this study. It has certainly been a different kind of study for me, and it has prodded me in many ways in my life, so that I might not live my life under heaven, under the sun, but truly under heaven. And I hope it has for you as well. Let's bow our heads and dismiss. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come before You, Lord, at the close of this journey in this book, Lord, we thank You for the wisdom that has been brought to us. And Lord, we pray that, Father, we might heed to it, that we might yearn to serve You more all the days of our life. Lord, go with us now as we go to our Sunday school classrooms, that Your will might be done in all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.